Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on God's will for your healing was recorded at our 2009 Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
They keep saying, oh, it'll never happen. Nobody will ever enforce it that way. But now they have this thing that you can't speak against any segment. Now, you could speak against Christians. You could say that Christians are bigots, and you could say any of that. But you couldn't say anything against anybody else, or they're going to censor you. So anyway, my point in bringing all of that up is, people think that persecution, you know, has always been somewhere else. I tell you what, we are in a situation right now. I just had a staff member send me an article that was written by a homosexual magazine in Colorado Springs yesterday. And it's all about a Bible thumping, and Womacks are coming to Woodland Park, and they got the mayor involved, and they interviewed him and talked about how we're hating homosexuals, and they're starting a campaign against us. You know what? They can criticize us, but we can't criticize them. So anyway, my point is that, you know what? Persecution is something that you cannot be redeemed from. And I actually believe that somebody is probably going to have to be censored, fined, put in prison to wake up people and to get the people here in the United States motivated to do something about it. And I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't happen. I'm not looking for it. I'm not praying for it. But you know what? I'm not going to avoid it. If they tell me that I can't get onto the TV and speak the truth, I'm going to continue to speak the truth. And if I go to jail for it, hopefully y'all will stand up and fight for me. Amen. And praise God, it'll get something done. But this is what Paul was saying. He now glories in his tribulations and glories in these persecutions because it's when he's weak that he's strong. And this is what he's talking about. He is not saying that God gave him some ancient disease. Look at this over in Galatians chapter 4. Now, people who've misinterpreted Paul's thorn in the flesh will take these verses and try and tell you what his thorn in the flesh was based on these verses. In Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 13. He says, you know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Now here he's talking about he had an infirmity at the first. And here I believe that this infirmity is talking about something physical in his body, because in verse 14, he says that my temptation, which was in my flesh, talking about in his physical body, this was something physical in his body. So there was something physical in his body, and they didn't despise him or reject him, but they received him as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them unto me. And people take this and say, see, he had something in his flesh. It was associated with his eyes. And so they have believed that Paul had some ancient Aramaic disease that caused runny, puffy eyes and real poor eyesight. And to add to that, they turn over to Galatians chapter 6. And at the end of this chapter, in verse 11, he says, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. And I've actually heard people preach that Paul had such poor eyesight that his letters had to be 2 and 3 inches tall, and he wrote with large letters because of this runny, puffy eyes that was his thorn in the flesh. If you look the words up for large, it's not talking about size, it's talking about quantity. It's talking about how many words he wrote, not how big the words were. And you know what? In my Bible, which is very small print, this is about 6 pages, single space. That's a large letter. And this is what he's talking about. You see how large a letter. This didn't mean that the letters were 2 and 3 inches tall. And when it says that this infirmity that was in his flesh, you would have plucked out your own eyes. That doesn't necessarily mean he had an eye problem. It's the same way as I'd say, man, this person just, they love me so much, I'd give my right arm for Pastor Derry. Does that mean Pastor Derry's arm's bad? It just means I love him enough that I'd sacrifice even my arm. I'd give him the shirt off my back. Does that mean that he was without a shirt? That's just a figure of speech saying that we would give anything. We would make sacrifices. So when he says you would have plucked out your own eyes, he could have just been using that as an example that you love me so much that you would have sacrificed for me back then. Why has it changed? Why don't you love me as much now is the point that he's making. And let me say this. Even if he had runny, puffy eyes, did you know where Galatia was, the church of Galatia? It was the exact place, Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium were in Galatia. This is where he was stoned and left for dead and walked the next day 20-something miles and preached. And it's possible that if you had been stoned and left for dead, that the next day you might have had a runny, puffy eye. But that doesn't mean that that was your thorn in the flesh and that this is something that God gave you, but you might have had an eye problem because you'd been stoned the day before. And notice he says that my temptation, which was in my flesh at the first, you despise not. In other words, at the first means he got over it. You know, if you are going to use these verses to say that the Apostle Paul had an ancient Aramaic eye disease that caused his eyes to run and swell up, then you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. This is reading between the lines. People who are saying that are straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. They are missing it big time. This is not a verification that his sickness was some kind of thing. Matter of fact, I've already gone through those verses. I don't believe that the word infirmity was even talking about sickness in context. It's talking about persecution. He had a demonic messenger that persecuted him, and that was his thorn in the flesh. And it came because of the abundance of the revelations. Until you get to where you've written half the New Testament, you don't even need to worry about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And it was just something that a persecution that came against him. And those, I believe, that are on the front lines, the more out in front of people, the more people you influence, the greater the attack is against you. It's just like when I was in the Army. You know, when we were out on the fire support base, you didn't salute an officer. I made that mistake one time. I saluted this bald-headed major that was walking across our hill. I saluted him and he threw me on the ground and put his foot on my throat. And he says, if you ever see this bald head coming again, you better go the other direction or I'll kill you. And I thought, I'm supposed to salute. I was taught to salute in basic. And he said, not out here on the fire support base. He said, those Vietnamese are looking and they aren't going to salute. They aren't going to kill the one who saluted the officer. They're going to kill the officer. He says, you better never salute me again. The enemy is out after the officers. They're out after the leaders. The more in leadership you get, the more attacks that you have come against you. And so Paul just had a tremendous attack against him. And this is all that his thorn in the flesh is about. This is not saying that God put sickness on him. It wasn't true. God didn't do this. Let me end with these verses over here in Isaiah chapter 53. I mentioned these. I quoted them briefly last night, but we need to turn and read this. Isaiah chapter 53, actually from Isaiah chapter 40 on through, these are prophecies about the Messiah. John the Baptist quoted from them, and many, many, many of these statements refer to the Messiah. And in chapter 53, especially in verse 4, it says, surely he, talking about Jesus, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 quotes this verse and says, with his stripes we were healed. It's already done. This is quoted over in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. And this is where Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then the word spread, and they began to bring all of the sick and the diseased, and he healed them all, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself bore our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. That's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, and it substitutes the word infirmities and sicknesses for the word sorrows and griefs. And so the Bible comments on itself. Even if you didn't know Greek and Hebrew, you could just keep reading. And when it quotes this verse in the New Testament, it says that he bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. Healing is not an add-on, an addition to our salvation. It is a part of what Jesus purchased for us. He died for your healing as much as he died to forgive your sins. And I know some people doubt that, but look at this verse. And I said that was the last thing, but look at this. It's right here in chapter 52. And in verse 14, it says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. You need to think about this. And all of this is talking about his crucifixion. If you read this in context, it's very easy to see that this is talking about his crucifixion. And it says he was his visage. The word visage is an old English word for face. Matter of fact, if you look in some of the modern translations, this is exactly what it means. His face was marred more than any man. That's a huge statement. That is a huge statement. You know, I deal with probably more sick people than most of you do. And I may have seen more things than some of you have, but I have seen people that are just, I mean, it's terrible, terrible what sickness and disease and things have done to him. I had one man come to me. His name was Churchill in Kansas City. And this man had a towel over his face like this, and he was talking and asked me to pray for him, and I couldn't understand what he was saying. And finally I just said, look, you're going to have to move the towel for me to understand you. And he took the towel away, and cancer had eaten off his nose, his cheeks and everything. And you could see up inside of his cavities, his sinuses up in there. And it was raw and it was pouring out fluids. It was grotesque looking. This says that Jesus' face was marred more than that.
This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM239 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministry for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.